Good morning, everyone. So glad that you guys are here joining us this morning. Have you guys ever heard of this phrase, it's just a phase? I'm sure if you're in our auditorium, in our worship center, or if you're out in the community center, or if you're watching with us online or watching later, we're glad that I'm just thankful that we can be here together in this way and offer these different options that we can gather together. But whether you're here in person or watching online, you've heard of this phrase, it's just a phase. And probably you've heard of this phrase, it's just a phase, when it comes to kids and being a parent. And say you are a parent or a mom or a dad, and you're longing for the phase to end where you can actually get a good night's sleep and your infant can sleep through the night. You know, so many parents with young kids, they're just longing for that rest, for that good night's sleep, as so many young parents are tired and exhausted and wondering, when is that phase going to come where I can sleep at night? Or maybe once your infant can sleep through the night, they become toddlers and they become like these terrible twos that maybe you guys have heard of. And you're like, I can't wait for that phase to end so that they can get out of this terrible twos. But then something weird happens. They become three and they become like a three-nager, not a teenager, but a three-nager. That is like a three-year-old with an attitude. And it's like, I didn't know this. I didn't sign up for this. I didn't get prepared for this. So we see, like, when is this going to end? Or as your kids get older, there's other phases, and we long to kind of get to the next phase. But maybe there's some of you in this room or watching online or in the community center where you're like, hey, you know, I have adult kids, adult children. And, of course, being a parent is a lifelong thing. But you might encourage me who has kids in the home still or others here, like, hey, don't fast forward this time. It goes really quick. Enjoy these moments, even when maybe your infant doesn't sleep through the night. But it can be kind of exhausting, right, as we look at a phase and wondering, when is this going to end? And we have two kids right now. We have Margot and Joelle. Margot is our youngest. And Margot, when you're a parent, you may remember this or are going through this now, like, when is my kid going to sit up? When is she going to crawl? When is she going to walk? And you try not to worry and think, well, I want my kid to be the first one to walk, you know, 9 months or 8 months. That's pretty early to have your kid walking around. And, you know, I try not to put that pressure on myself or on my kids, but we notice, okay, Margot's a year old and she's not interested in walking. Now she's 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, like, when is she going to start walking? And of course, we've had her see some doctors, and we did some different physical therapy, and we, even in this phase that we're in with this pandemic, we had to do some of that virtually on Zoom, and we've had to take her to the doctor as well. But now, at least, she's going to be 20 months, I believe, like on Tuesday. Now she's wanting to walk, but with assistance, so I have to hold both of her hands, and she walks around. She's like, you know, like walking like this, but she's walking, and she's going everywhere in our house, her sister's bedroom, our bedroom, her bedroom, our living room, and then even down in our basement. I got to carry her. I won't go too far down here so people can still see me, but I'll carry her down our basement steps, and then she'll want to walk up the steps, like up and down, you know, doing this over and over again. She's getting her steps in, I guess, but she is motivated to walk, and in fact, she's going to get some braces to kind of help her mobility. They say she has, like, hypermobility, so she's pretty flexible, so she feels very unstable. So she's going to get those on her ankles, and that's going to help. But we're starting to see the end is in sight. This phase is almost over where she's going to be able to walk, and she's motivated to do that. I really think that we're in a phase right now with this pandemic, with what is happening right now, not only in our city and in our state, not only in our country, but in around the world. It's like, when is this going to end? When it was the middle of March, I was like, okay, maybe the end of March and April, but for sure we'll be back in our church building for Easter and all of that. It's like, nope. And it continues to go, and it continues to get extended further and further out. When is this going to end? When is this phase going to end? And it can be really hard. It can be really frustrating. I've heard someone say it's like you signed up and prepared to, like, run a marathon, and then toward the end of the marathon, somebody told you it's going to be a triathlon. It's like, well, I didn't prepare for this. I didn't train for this. And those of you who are athletes in the room, or maybe you're watching this online, you guys know more about what it takes to train for certain activities. Training for a marathon is different than training for a triathlon. And you're like, I don't know if I can make this. I didn't prepare for this. I didn't train for this. This may last another month. It may last a year. It may last longer. It's like I can barely make it another week with this phase, let alone seeing it go months upon months further. And I really believe as we look at God's word this morning, as we look at the Apostle Paul and what he had to say in 2 Corinthians 12, when we look at this, I believe God's word is so applicable, so relevant to our lives, even in 2020. Even in the midst of, as we will look and see, Paul, he really wrestled and dealt with a bunch of things. Trial upon trial upon trial. Some people even questioning his being an apostle and leader in the early church. Why does all this bad stuff keep happening to him? Maybe he isn't the apostle that maybe we thought. And he wrestling with all of that. And then some issues that he dealt with the church in Corinth. And what did the Apostle Paul really come to resolve? And really wrestle with God to help to sustain him when he felt like a phase, what there wasn't an end to it, or there wasn't an end in sight. So we're going to look at that here this morning. But before we dive into 2 Corinthians 12, let's pray. Father, I am thankful that you're present with us as we're in this series, Awaken, that you haven't left us alone, that you've awakened our hearts, our souls, our lives to your truth that is sustaining to our souls. That while this may have been a surprise to us, this is not a surprise to you. And you will give us what we need to persevere, to be the people that you've called each and every one of us to be. And we're thankful for that. Pray you be with me the rest of this message. Give me the words to say. Be with all of us as well as we navigate this unusual phase that we're in. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're kind of jumping in here in 2 Corinthians 12 in the middle of a conversation. I'll give some context to this as well. The Apostle Paul, he went to Corinth in Acts 18. You could read more about that. I encourage you to check that out if you want to know. There's been some ups and downs with the church in Corinth with Paul. They're kind of getting back on the right track, but there's some issue with what Paul calls super apostles. These guys who are like, yeah, these are the celebrity pastors. Not all celebrity pastors are bad. I'm not trying to say that. But these guys are it. You know, they have everything that you could think of. And Paul's really wrestling with the tension between these super apostles and then with the Corinthians and how they really like these guys. And then how that kind of undermined Paul's leadership as an apostle to the Lord. But we can see here in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Paul says, I must go on boasting. Though there is nothing to be gained by it, I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. You see, Paul's like in the middle of boasting. He actually prefers not to boast. He doesn't want to do that, but he's like, okay, I'm going to humor the super apostles. They're like, here's my resume. Here's everything that I've ever done. Look at all of this. I won't mention on my resume like all my weaknesses or anything. We'll just celebrate the strengths. And Paul's like, okay, well, I will boast, but then he makes an important difference, a contrast between the way the super apostles may have boast and then the way that Paul boasts and what he will actually boast in. So we're going to have to backtrack a little bit to chapter 11. In chapter 11, verse 5, Paul says, indeed, I consider that I am not in the least inferior to these super apostles. Even if I am unskilled in speaking, I am not so in knowledge. So Paul, he's admitting that he doesn't see himself as inferior to these guys, but he does admit that he is unskilled in speaking. So we can see here the super apostle was a dynamic preacher. The super apostle was like all the Corinthians, this is a joke, but all the Corinthians had on their smartphone, the podcast, they subscribed to all the sermons of the super apostles. These guys are fantastic communicators, fantastic preachers. Paul's not, but he's like, hey, I know the gospel. And as we will see, he knows the way of Jesus, which is actually far better than being this amazing preacher. And these super apostles will have probably seen visions and revelations, and they're going to want to elaborate and talk about it so that people can look and think, wow, these guys are amazing. These guys have these amazing visions and revelations from the Lord. And also that these super apostles, these super Christian leaders, had a spiritual pedigree, as we will see here in verses 22 and 20, and moving on, he says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they offspring of Abraham? So am I. And are they servants of Christ? I am a better one. So we can see that Paul's going to begin to make a shift here, an important contrast. He's saying, I am a better one. He goes on to say, I'm talking like a madman with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beating, and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. 1 night and 1 I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles. Danger in the city, danger in wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, though many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. So what does Paul boast about? He says in verse 30, he answers that question for us. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. When the super apostles, they would say, look at all the accolades, look at my spiritual pedigree, and kind of leave off, well, I'm not going to talk about my weaknesses. Paul's like, look at everything that I've gone through, the tribulations and the trials and the beatings and almost near death, really near death, actually, but he didn't die. And the weakness, the anxiety that he felt, even just for the daily pressures of caring for the followers of Jesus and the churches, he's like, these are my weaknesses. He's not trying to pretend like he has it all figured out, or he's just, look at me, I'm the super apostle, follow me, we're going to do this thing. He's like, no, I am weak. And I think, oh, it's okay for us as we are in this phase right now where it appears like there's no end in sight, to say like, it's okay, I'm weak, I'm struggling, I am anxious, I am worried, I'm dealing with this, the financial issues, all the tension that is around us with this phase that we're in. It's okay to say we are weak. We don't have to act like this super Christian that has it all figured out. As we can see with somebody like Paul, who wrote so many letters that we have in our New Testament as a part of God's word, that even he was honest and real about his weaknesses. And he was okay with saying that to even these Corinthian followers of Jesus. So that kind of catches us up here to chapter 12, and Paul will go on to say this, I know a man in Christ, and he's talking about himself, who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know, God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know, God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast except of my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. You see, Paul, he's boasting in a way to deflect the honor and praise that would come his way, and he's not elaborating as even I honestly would like. Like, hey, you got caught up to the third heaven and saw all of this amazing stuff. Could you please tell me? I want to know. Tell me. But he's not. To show the contrast between himself and these super apostles who would love to boast and boast about themselves and say, look at how great I am. Look at the kind of leader or apostle I am. But Paul's trying to show a different way, the way of Jesus, boasting in his weakness. And Paul says this, moving forward in verse 7, so to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. I like how the message puts it this way of verse 7. Satan's angel did his best to get me down, what he in fact did was push me to my knees. Now, what's important here to see is that God is sovereign. He's in control. He's created everything, and there is nothing that he has not created. And because of that, he allows certain things. He allows Satan to do things. We live in a world that's broken. We can see that God has allowed these things. But we can see what God's purposes are for hardship for Paul and what Satan's purpose is for the hardship and the difficulty and this thorn in the flesh that Paul has. Satan, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and to discourage us and to bring us down. But God is using this situation in Paul to keep him humble, to show him the way of Jesus, to help him to become more like Jesus, and to not be like these super apostles, these super Christian leaders, because we're not meant to be like that, like we got it all figured out, because really, we don't. God allowed this thorn in the flesh to happen so that Paul would stay humble and avoid becoming proud. Satan wanted this thorn in the flesh to get Paul down, to destroy him, to discourage him. Now, there's a few different thoughts on what Paul's thorn in the flesh is. Perhaps it was his trials. We just read about that in chapter 11. All the different trials he faced and how others might have looked like, what's wrong with Paul? What did he do to deserve all of these things happening to him? And he really had to wrestle with that. Perhaps it was a struggle with sin. In Paul's letter to the churches in Rome, chapter 7, he really talks about wrestling with sin and he really wants to do certain things and he doesn't want to do certain things, but he ends up doing them, but he's thankful for the grace of God in his life. Perhaps it was a physical limitation. We really don't know for sure, but I don't think we need to know for sure. I think what we can see is how much this impacted him and his posture and his response to that he went to his knees and he went to God in prayer and he relied on God to sustain him through this thorn in the flesh. He says in verse 8, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. Three times. And I empathize with Paul. Man, he's really had a rough life as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, as an apostle. But I'm also encouraged that here's this guy that is this great Christian leader in the early church, and he's pleading with God. He's crying out to him. You might think, hey, you know what? I'm just going to persevere. I'm just going to get through this, it'll be fine, and I'm not going to go to God with these things. He's like, no, he goes to God. He pleads with God, crying out to him three different times to take this away, that it should leave him. It should leave him. He cried out to him. I can't help but think of, and I shared this story with you guys before, so I won't get too much into detail with it, but when I was a teenager, three times in about a six-month span, I lost my mom, and a month after that, so February of that year, I lost my mom. In March of that year, my uncle passed away, her brother, and then in July of that year, their father, my grandfather, passed away. And each time I remember, I'm like, hey, I'm a teenager, my mom is not going to pass away, God's not going to let this happen. I knew she had some issues with being a diabetic and needing a kidney transplant and all that. I'm like, God isn't going to do this. And it happened. And then when I heard my uncle was starting to get sick, I'm like, well, this can't happen. It's just been a month since my mom passed away. This cannot happen. And it did. And then when my grandfather went into surgery to remove a tumor, I thought, he's going to be fine. There's just no way that this can happen. And I even remember even telling family members, I'm like, there's just no way. This can't happen. This can't happen. And I remember crying out to God in the simple way that I did, and it happened three times. And my question for you guys is, what have you pleaded and begged the Lord to do in this season? Maybe it has to do with this pandemic we are in, pleading with him, crying out to him. Maybe there's other things in our family, and sometimes we're so overwhelmed, we don't even want, maybe you're like, I don't even watch the news. I don't even know what's going on because I have my own pandemic, that I have my own issues that I'm dealing with, that I'm struggling with right now. What is that? What have you been begging the Lord to do, crying out to him to do in this season. And I really believe that Paul's answer, or the God's answer to Paul's crying out, was God's answer to me all those years ago. And I believe it's God's answer to us right now. He says this in verse 9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Or the message puts it this way, my grace is enough. It's all you need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness. In your weakness. And we might think right now, like, I'm just so weak. And our temptation is to be like, I'm so weak. And, you know, when I'm weak and when I'm sleep deprived, when you feel like you're a parent who hasn't gotten a good night's sleep in months and you're weak, you lash out and you do and say things that you wish you didn't. You sin. And you feel like, I'm not worthy of this grace. Maybe that's you. And I really believe if you're not worthy of this grace, that is the starting point to receiving the grace of God, because his grace is something we don't deserve. We don't deserve it. None of us do, but he offers us his grace, his undeserved favor. He showed that in sending his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, to make us right with God, to bring us into a right relationship with God, and that Jesus defeated death, and because of that we can have life now and forever. This is a free gift. And this grace and this power, the strength that he gives us, can sustain us in a season and in a phase, especially when we're weak, especially when we don't see an end in sight, especially when we feel like we were running a triathlon instead of a marathon, and we don't feel like we can make it another week, let alone months or years. This is what God's sustaining grace can do, his power can do for us. And I love how it says comes into its own. The message says that comes into its own means strength works best in our weakness. That is not when we clean ourselves up and let me clean myself up for a little bit, get myself right or do whatever I feel like I need to do, and then I can go to God. It's like, no, when we are weak, that is when God's strength works best. When we feel like we can't make it. We feel like we cannot make it to that finish line, whenever that is. Sometimes I feel like we think, well, with God's grace, with his strength, with the power of the Spirit, that maybe we could barely, the finish line is right there, and I'm just going to crawl and maybe limp to that finish line and stretch out, and then I could just cross it and then collapse from dehydration. And then we finish the race. We finish this phase that we're in. But I really believe that God's sustaining grace can help us to run to that finish line and actually have strength to celebrate with one another that we've made it. And that is what God's sustaining grace does. That is what his power does for us. It comes into its own. You think of like your favorite sports team, or like you're that favorite sports player who's like, wow, he really came into his own. Look at, he won the championship. He made the shot. He's cool under pressure. Or you see somebody like your kids, if you have an adult kid, and you see them, wow, they really grew up. They've come into their own. They got a job. They're living on their own. They've come into their own. That's what this looks like. Not that we're just going to barely make it to the finish line in this phase and we're just exhausted. No, but with God's grace and with his strength, we can run and cross that finish line and celebrate with one another. So Paul says this, so now I am glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults and hardships and persecutions and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. Just think of everything that he's gone through, everything that he's went through, and to be able to say that, it's amazing. It's not to minimize what he's gone through or even minimize what we're going through right now, because that's real. And Paul cried out 3 times to the Lord to take this thorn in the flesh away. There is room, and we have a safe relationship with God if we placed our trust in him to cry out. Maybe Paul cried out more after this. We don't know. But he's human just like all of us. He's not a super apostle. And he celebrates his weaknesses and was honest about the anxiety and the worries that he wrestled with and this thorn in the flesh that he had. And we can continue to do that. I don't want to minimize our weaknesses and what we're going through. Cry out to him. If you really feel like you can't make it another week, please come and talk to me. Please submit a prayer request if you're watching online. We want to connect with you. We should not be going through this alone. My big idea for us this morning is this, that God's grace and power will come into their own in our weakness. They will do that. God's grace and power will come into their own in our weakness. God says to you guys, to all of us, my grace is enough. It's all you need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness. You see, Trinity Church family, we are being awakened to the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit in our weakness. We are being awakened to these things. And it is something we don't deserve. It's something that we receive as we place our trust in Jesus every day. Not just, as I said, to limp to that finish line. Maybe with God's strength, it'll be just enough for me to cross. But that we can run and celebrate with one another. How amazing would it be if we could celebrate after this phase together with masks off or whatever it looks like, whatever that is going to be, that we can celebrate together and not just be like the rest of the world. And we can see that. We know, right? We see the rest of the world out there. That it's falling apart. Because guess what? Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he's doing. And I do not want to see any of you be destroyed, be discouraged, and go down that path. But there's grace, even if you're starting to go down that path in the last 4 months. God's grace is there. It's undeserved, and he's offering it to each and every one of you. Whether you have known this grace for years or you have yet to place your trust in Jesus, it is there for you. I want to close with this verse. I really believe that this is a word, you can take it or not, but I believe this is a word from the Lord for all of us, for the church, not only Trinity Church, but for all the churches. He says this, the prophet Isaiah says this in verse 31, chapter 40, but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. You will find new strength. You will soar high on wings like eagles. You will run and not grow weary. You will walk and not faint. You will run through that finish line. That is what God's will is for this thorn in the flesh for us. What Satan's will is for us is to steal, kill, and destroy, to discourage us. I want to encourage you guys. What we need to do then is to trust in the Lord. Trust in him. Receive his sustaining grace. What would it look like for, it can start here with us, with Trinity Church, to trust in the Lord, that when people are exhausted, they're depleted, and they might not know that they're spiritually dying of thirst, and that we are being sustained. We're honest. We're like the Apostle Paul. We don't have to pretend to be like the super apostles. We got it all figured out. No, we're wrestling with things. We're crying out to God for things. And we can continue to do that, but that people see that there's something different about those who follow Jesus. That they are running when the rest of them are weary. And that we can come alongside those who are weary, who are faint, and be there with them. Once again, I don't want to minimize what we're going through. But I believe God is saying, he's giving us this vision and this picture of us running. And maybe right now you can't run, that's okay. But we will get there together, Trinity Church family. We will get there together because of God's grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me pray. Father, I'm thankful for this grace that you've given us. We don't deserve it. And many of us, including myself, have been frustrated, angry. I could feel that in me, and we feel unworthy right now. But we know that that is the starting point to receiving your grace, because we don't deserve that. You love each and every one of us. And if there's people here in this room that are weak or depleted, they feel like, when is this phase going to end? And they're exhausted. I just pray that you show them your love, show them your grace, fill them with your spirit that sustains them, and that they would talk to others, that they wouldn't even leave here if they're in this building without talking to somebody about that. Or if they're watching online, submit a prayer request, email a pastor, email a staff, talk to somebody. We are not meant to do this on our own. So I'm just so thankful that we have this relationship, or we can, to cry out to you like Paul did 3 times. I pray that you be with each and every one of us. And if there's people in this room that don't know you yet, that this sustaining grace is there for them as well, that they can also soar high. They can run, they can walk, and not be faint or weary. I'm thankful for that, that you have sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for all of us and to defeat death so that we could have life now and forever. Just pray for everyone here that they would experience your sustaining grace, whether for the first time or just a reminder to go to your grace as it sustains us every single day. Thank you, and I'm excited to celebrate with my friends here in this building or my friends watching online that we will run to the finish line. May you protect each and every one of us from an enemy who would want to steal, kill, and destroy us. But we don't need to fear, because we know that we have your grace and we have your spirit to sustain us. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.